Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, let's welcome our guest, and that is Hazrat Mawlana Salman Yunus. Damat barakatuh. Mawlana Salman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, all well on your side today?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Beautiful day today in Durban.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I think we did have Mawlana previously, if I'm not mistaken.
Alhamdulillah.
So, just to inform our listeners that Mawlana studied at Miftahul Ulum under Mufti Yaqub Valley, Samtamad Barakatuh, mashallah. So, Mawlana, all well, everything. Where are you based now at the moment?
Now, I'm currently in Durban CBD Beach Street, Musalla An-Nur, the Imam, and running the Madrasa as well.
Okay, Musalla, the name again?
Musalla An-Nur.
An-Nur. Okay, this is where? CBD?
This is CBD on Beach Street.
Okay. And mashallah, how's everything in Durban, the weather?
Alhamdulillah, we had some heavy rain the past few days, but today, alhamdulillah, we got some clear skies, sun out.
Gee, there was some reports of storms and all of this. Was that true? Sometimes they give information on the news, but when we speak to the people...
No, it was true, because we had some very, very powerful thunderstorms, lightning, heavy winds, up until this morning. Fajr time was still the same, and then the wind was still quite strong. I think there's even by just past Pingo side, one bridge is on the verge of collapsing, the highway bridge. Mm. So the whole traffic and things is diverted, and it's a whole chaos at the moment.
Mm. Mawlana, before we go to the spiritual side, many people want to know as well, are the beaches of Durban now, especially North Beach, many people used to go previously, is it safe to swim there, or it's still filled with all the pollution and whatnot?
Honestly, I do not know, because if I need to swim, I go back to Port Shepstone. Our beach is in the south coast, so I don't really swim here, so I never even hear anything about it as well.
Mm. Okay. Jazakumullah khairan, because we've heard of oils, spillages, and all of these things.
Mm. Generally, it's like a trend here in Durban, coming close, especially to the December holidays. You always find the E. coli or some spill in the oceans. I don't know whether it's real or not, but if you drive past the beach, you'll see if people are swimming in the beach, but is it safe or not, that day I don't know.
Okay. So Port Shepstone, that's safe?
That's safe, gee, south coast.
Gee. Alhamdulillah. And also, I think... maybe Mawlana can correct me here, that, you know, as Muslims, especially during these festive seasons, we should not be going to places where our iman is at risk. So we should plan ourselves in advance. Most people, they have forced holidays, they're working, they have to take the annual leave and that. So they should go to more quiet places. So I think and that the South Coast is a better option, because not many people go that side. For Muslims especially, the beaches are much more quieter. Mawlana, you can correct me?
Gee, correct, 100%. On point there. Sometimes we feel that, you know, our holidays are here and we have to maximize it and utilize it. And we're putting our, maybe for our, the desires of our families forward and our desires first. And that is at the expense of our deen and our own haya. Especially December time, we know that we love to enjoy the beaches and go for a swim. But no one's saying we can't do that there. But we just have to plan a little bit more to ensure that we can utilize the bounty of Allah Ta'ala whilst we're still protecting our iman. Simple example is that on South Coast, we see there are many pocket beaches which a person can go and swim at, and it's much quieter. And even if the woman folk go, it's basically not people or anything around there. But what we generally do in summer, we know that the sun rises very early. So after the Fajr Salah, the sun is already out and it's bright. So at that moment, about 6 in the morning, we go have a swim at that time. The beaches are empty, it's safe, and it's already warm. So we're getting that day out and getting an early start to your day as well. And alhamdulillah, after that day, you have your full day ahead.
Hmm. some people also, they planning to go to the UAE. But it's, for me, it seems like these are double standards, because you go into a place to support them, and whereas they don't allow you to speak on Palestine and all of these issues. I was just speaking to someone last week, and they said one of the things that that is tragic for them, and they're finding it hard to accept, because they were originally from South Africa and they moved there now. You can't say a word of Palestine. But you want to speak of Diwali, you want to speak on any other issue you can. That's no problem. So these are, why do we have to go there? Why do we have to put ourselves in such places? There's nothing like spiritual there anyways. Normally when we used to come back from Umrah, then you used to go for the three-day transit there. And frankly speaking, we know many of us used to, with that 3 days, you want to capitalize on it, go here, but what are you doing? All that spirituality that you've built, you just lose it in a few moments. And that's ideally what they want to do now in Saudi Arabia, in the surroundings, that while you are there, you come out of the Haram Sharif, you're just connected with the Kaaba al-Musharrafa, you come out and you see all these things that are taking place. So the surroundings are going to impact you so that you don't come back with any spirituality. Anyhow, Mulana, our topic for today, Mulana, what's on your mind basically?
So, seeing my alhamdulillah, it'll tie up to what I have planned to speak about, that we know now over a year has passed since the genocide has been taking place to our brothers and sisters in Palestine. And many people I've spoken to, or we see on the chat groups and things, and it's sort of becoming like mundane now, sort of becoming sidelined. People are becoming immune to the news, that they don't want to hear it anymore. And they just carrying on with their normal lives without giving this concern and this worry for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Together with that, people are sort of, if you can use the word, losing hope, that they don't see any solution or any victory coming forward. And as a believer, that is not the sign of our iman, not a sign of our hope in Allah Ta'ala. So many people I've spoken to, and recently I've given a Jummah Bayan on this same, what we'll speak about quickly in this few minutes, inshallah, that how we can reinstill and revive this hope in Allah and this trust in the grand plan and the grand scheme of Allah Ta'ala. And in everything in a believer's life, as always, we have to look to our answers in Quran and Sunnah. Not what the dunya is telling us, not what the media or not what the Western world wants us to believe, but our answer only lies in Quran and Sunnah. Now, reports have come in so much over the year that non-Muslims across the world are flocking to Islam because they want to know that why are these people in Gaza, why are they still holding so firm to their beliefs, to their religion, to their homeland, whereas they've been offered so many other chances to go other places of the world, start off fresh with a good startup package, everything. But they rather live in a war-torn country, war-torn town, and continue their lives while they know that every moment, every given moment is a chance of them passing away, becoming a martyr. And this has driven thousands and thousands of non-Muslims to go and study about Islam. And this is where we have to realize our shortfall as Muslims, that non-Muslims are going and opening up the Quran Majid, seeing the translation, seeing the tafsir of the Quran. And just by reading the translation of Quran, obviously they cannot read the Arabic, but by reading the translation of Quran, they are flocking to Islam and saying, no, this is the true religion. This is why the Muslims are holding firm. But you and I ask ourselves that we are, many of us born Muslims, many of us might have been reverted to Islam, and we are Muslims maybe for a couple years even, our whole life even. And alhamdulillah, we've made that effort to go and learn how to read the Quran, study the Quran, but we have not gotten to that next phase of understanding that message that my Allah Ta'ala wants us to understand. Yes, reading the Quran is a great virtue and we should continue reading it, no doubt behind that. But we should not stop there. Yes, we made our children huffaz, we send them to the makatibs, to the madrasas. But now, where they need that Quran for guidance in their life, for answers in their life, now they do not understand the message that Allah Ta'ala is sending them. So many times we're going to ulama, we are going to to listen to bayans for advice. Whereas the best bayan, the best advice you can ever get is from the Quran itself, the message of Quran itself. And obviously, today we know how many different translations and tafsirs. Very important it is also that we open, we contact our local alim, contact the ulama, for which is a trusted, authentic translation and commentary of Quran. And one simple one which we all can use by Mufti Afzal Ilyas, rahmatullah alayh, which is known as Quran Made Easy. It is very simple English in it, and we can understand it with ease with a brief translation after every ayat. But why I mention this is because I hope to speak today to encourage our listeners and to encourage myself as well that we need to turn to Quran and Sunnah for our solutions. If we are turning to anything else, then we are going to see no end in sight, no light at the end of the tunnel. So today, inshallah, I hope to just touch on one beautiful surah of the Quran Majid, which is an often read surah in the Quran. And through the surah, inshallah, we can find hope in the plan and the power of Allah Ta'ala, and realize that Allah Ta'ala's plan, none of us can ever understand, but we have to trust in it. And the surah that follows it, Allah Ta'ala gives us the solution to get the help of Allah Ta'ala. So the surah that I am speaking about is known as Surah Fil. Very often our maktabs learn these surahs. We read these surahs very often in our salah. But ask ourselves, we're reading these, like, generally a person has set surahs which he knows he reads in salah, even though he might know more than that. But it's just his habit that he reads a certain surahs. So let us make it a point that those surahs which we know we often read in salah, let us go and at least do those surahs in detail, the translation, the meaning. And we'll see a whole different flavor comes in our salah, a whole different feeling. And we'll see that khushu and khuzu will start to develop, because now as we're reading the salah, we are understanding what Allah is telling us. Together with tashahud, the different tasbihat in salah, understand the meaning of it. So now when we are reading it, we're not just parroting, but we are reading and we are concentrating and we know exactly what our salah. Then we'll see that salah that Allah Ta'ala talked about in Quran, that will keep us away from sin, that will keep us away from doing wrong deeds, because now we're having the full effect of salah. So in Surah Fil, Allah Ta'ala starts the surah with أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Allah Ta'ala poses the question that, do you see what had happened to the people of the elephants? Do you see what had happened to the people of the elephants? So what is the story? Maybe we know it, but just as a revision, what is the story of the people of the elephants, and why is it such a significant point that the Quran has dedicated a surah towards it, and what is it in history that made its mark? So there was a person by the name of Abraha who was from Yemen, and he noticed and he always envied the Arabs, the Quraysh, for having the Kaaba, for having this pull across the whole world. Because even during the pagan times, during the times of Jahiliyyah and before, then people used to still go for pilgrimage once a year to the Kaaba Sharif. And he did not like this. He wanted the pull to sort of come to his country, Yemen. And the only way he saw of doing this is to try and rival the Kaaba in order to pull people towards his country. So what he did was he built his own temple, his own church, and he decorated it to the T. He made it spectacular, he made it fancy, in the hope that this glitz and the glamour will attract people. So very similar to what Mawlana was saying, that people want to go to UAE because of the glitz and the glamour that is attracting the people. But when we see behind that, there is only filth. There is only nothing at all. It's void of any barakah. It's void of any effect whatsoever. You can never ever match the original Kaaba. You can, even though the Kaaba can be even without the ghilaf, without the covering, even if it's just the bricks of the Kaaba. But the effect and the spirituality that Allah has placed within the Kaaba itself, that there, no matter how beautiful anywhere else in the world can be, no matter how attractive, it can never ever come close to the actual Kaaba. So he built this temple of his, and now he started calling people towards his country, towards Yemen. So when the news of this reached the Arabs and Quraysh, they became very angry with this year, and they became very irritated that how can someone do such a thing? So a few of them, the Quraysh, they went to this place, and some of them even went inside of it, and they desecrated within it, and they made it filthy. And the tafsir says that they built fires around it, and the winds blew this fire onto this temple, and it burned to the ground. Now this whole action here angered Abraha, who was the person that wanted the whole power, to a whole different level. Such now, he said, the only way I can do this is I go and destroy the Kaaba. So he took an army of war elephants, and they headed towards the Kaaba to destroy the Kaaba. Now imagine, the elephants are coming. A creature maybe many have never seen in their life. Such a huge creature of Allah Ta'ala, a creation of Allah Ta'ala, that if a person never sees it in his life, he'll get scared, he'll get frightened, he'll get astonished on first viewing of this here. And these are war elephants on top of that. So when news reached the Arab land, many of the tribes began to prepare to go and face Abraha before he can even come into Makkah, before he can even come close to the Kaaba. Now, Abdul Muttalib, who we know as the grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the custodian of the Kaaba. We're going to run through the story very quickly as time does not permit for the final message that I want to give, inshallah. So the Abdul Muttalib gave them one simple advice. He says that you do what you need to do for yourself and your own belongings, basically. And the Lord of the Kaaba, he will protect his Kaaba. So nevertheless, some tribes did go and face this army of Abraha, and they were defeated along the way. As Abraha was coming closer now, he passed the pasture, the farm of Abdul Muttalib, where he trampled and destroyed many of the flock of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib came out, and he demanded to be recompensated and paid for the damages. So again, Abraha, in astonishment, knowing that this is Abdul Muttalib, who is the custodian of the Kaaba of that time, and he asks him that, you are worried about a few flocks, whereas I'm going to destroy the Kaaba, which is your most sacred, so a sacred thing in your land. And again, he gave Abraha the same answer. He says that this belongs to me. I will make sure I get paid what belongs to me. Whereas the Kaaba, the Lord of the Kaaba will take care of it. Nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala thereafter says, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ, that did you not see how we made the plan to go astray? Did you not see how we made it fail miserably? Now, again, to highlight why was this such a significant event that even the Quran spoke about it, we'll see how they got destroyed. And this gave even more honor and more status to the Arabs, to Quraysh itself. So how did Allah Ta'ala make the plans go astray and to fail miserably? In the next two verses, Allah Ta'ala explains it. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلُ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and we sent against them طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلُ, we sent to them a bird, flocks of birds known as the Ababil birds. Now, when I went and did some quick search on this bird, then it is known as the swift bird, as the swallow. And this bird has a very, very special characteristic. This bird can be airborne for 10 months straight. It does not need to touch the ground. For 10 months straight, it can stay in flight. Allah Ta'ala used this bird here. And what did this bird do? تَرْمِيهِمْ بِشِجَارَةٍ مِّنْ سِجِّيلٍ. تَرْمِيهِمْ, it pelted these elephants. It pelted this army. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِشِجَارَةٍ, with stones, مِّنْ سِجِّيلٍ, made of baked clay. Now, if you have to ponder upon this scene itself, and just think about this here for the power of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sent small birds with small clay stones. Firstly, a bird is so weak. I'm talking about it, a small bird, not an eagle or a vulture or anything. Secondly, Allah Ta'ala never sent any special stones or any sharp stones. Allah sent clay stones, which is soft. Now, when these birds flew over the elephants and they released these stones, these stones, the Mufassirin explained, went through the rider, through the elephant, till it came out on the other side. From here, we learn a very important point, that Allah Ta'ala is in control. Allah gives power to whatever Allah wills. Allah Ta'ala can take away the quality of something, and Allah can give something a quality. Allah does not need bombs. Allah Ta'ala does not need hurricanes, earthquakes. Allah Ta'ala, through this year, Allah showed His might, that Allah used something so small to destroy something so huge. Allah Ta'ala could have caused an earthquake to take place. Allah could have caused a hurricane. But then a person could have said, But this was a more powerful force that destroyed this army. Whereas Allah showed something which you consider something insignificant, something small, something that is not even strong. Allah said, I gave it the quality. I put the power there to destroy such a huge army. And for us to simply understand, a father has a son who went for martial arts training. And he came back after completing his training, an 8, 10, 9-year-old boy. So now, if that father wants to display the strength and ability of the son, he won't call another 10-year-old boy, because the person will say it's a matched rivalry. That's why it's easy. He'll say, bring your best fighter, irrespective of his age. Bring him, 40, 50-year-old person, trained for years and years and end, decades on end. Bring him to face my son. Now when that son puts that fighter down, people will truly understand what the ability the son has. So by this example, we can truly understand or sort of understand the power of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't need the world. Allah doesn't need the world to help us end this problem in Palestine. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need the powers of the world, doesn't need the armies of the world, doesn't need the UAE, doesn't need the UN or the NATO, whatever it is. Allah Himself can do it whenever Allah Ta'ala wills. And that is the next question, that when is the help of Allah Ta'ala coming for our Muslim brothers and sisters? Just like these birds. Mufassirin explained two explanations. One is that these birds came from over the ocean. And one is that it came from the lands of Yemen itself. But can we understand, for those birds to reach Abraha just before you could enter Makkah, when did these birds actually leave? That means the help of Allah Ta'ala already started coming. It already was on its way. It was just a matter of time when Allah Ta'ala planned that now the help will come. That means these birds are already, they never just come out of the blue, but they was came from a certain place. Allah sent them ahead of time to reach at a certain specific time to destroy this army. And like this year, وَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْتُولٍ, this army became like fodder, like trampled grass, totally destroyed, totally destroyed. Now, why this was so significant in history? Because this gave the Arabs a status and a power that people knew if we're going to try to touch them or do anything to them, then the Lord of the Kaaba will take care of us. We can't even go close. Such a significant event it was that people even started dating from this time. They started saying 10 years after the years of the elephants, 5 years after the year of the elephant, 2 years before. This became a whole change in the whole dating system of people. And it was within this year itself that our Mubarak Nabi, our blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born also. As though Allah Ta'ala is showing mankind that no matter how strong the forces of Batil is out there, no matter how strong, I will send one Nabi, one man, the best of all of mankind. He will come with the message of Quran. He will come with his beautiful Sunnah. And this will be enough to extinguish and put off the powers of the world. The darkness of the world has nothing in his sight. And very quickly, that was to give us hope in the power of Allah, in the might of Allah Ta'ala, in the trust in the grand plan of Allah, that we are seeing it more than a year now. But we know from 1948, it actually already started. But from the genocide perspective, more than a year, this is going on. But do not lose hope in Allah. Trust in Allah. But if we want this help of Allah, then what we have to do? We have to do what comes in the next surah. And we're just going to go to the main verse of that surah. After Allah Ta'ala highlights in Surah Quraysh, that the favors Allah has blessed the Quraysh of. Now Allah Ta'ala is telling them, after I've blessed you with so much of favors, think of ourselves. Allah has blessed us with ease, with comforts, with families, with wealth, with businesses, with houses, with children, everything. Now what we have to do after Allah has blessed us, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, now worship the Lord of the Kaaba. Worship Allah Ta'ala. And why worship Allah? Allah Ta'ala is giving us the benefit that will come out. We have to worship Allah because He's our Creator, whether we got any benefit or not. But Allah is telling us, if you worship me, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ, that Allah will give you food, will take you out of hunger, وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, and will give you safety from all sorts of fear. And that is what we have in our life. That is what our brothers and sisters in Gaza is going through, that they are the shortage of food, shortage of water. Then they are living in constant fear of when the next bomb is coming, when something is happening. In our own lives, example, we are all looking for that rosy. We are all looking for that job. We are looking for that wealth. We are looking for that fear, for that safety. We don't know whether we're putting 3 locks on our doors. We don't know whether we can walk on this street. We don't know whether we should leave our car parked over here. We're worried about our families left back at home. So we got all these things that we are worrying about. Allah Ta'ala is giving us the solution. We want the help to come to Gaza. one, they have to come in our own lives. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. We have to turn to Allah. We have to obey Allah in totality. We cannot look at the solutions of the world. People are saying boycott. People are saying sanctions. People are saying don't do this. Don't support this. Yes, in the dunyawi perspective, that is fine. We have to take our dunyawi needs and dunyawi precautions. But there is no benefit in us only doing that without forgetting the first step of فَلْيَعْبُدُوا, of worshipping and obeying Allah. We can do all the sanctions of the world, all the boycotts of the world, but if we are not fulfilling our Fajr Salah for Jamaat, if we are not reading our 5-10 Salah, if the men are not dressing according and living their lives according to Sunnah, if the women are not covering up correctly, then whatever else we might be doing will see no benefit until and unless we come. Now, example, so many times we think they are pop-up stalls. They are saying, this drive for Palestine. This come and support us. All funds are going to Palestine. My question always is, why do we want something in return? Why do we want to go buy a burger and chips and feel happy I'm getting something and my money is going to Palestine? That is not true sadaqah. True sadaqah is that I give away my money and I trust in my Allah, He'll repay me. Here now, there is more fitna taking place, more of the commands of Allah Ta'ala breaking. And here we think we are doing something to aid Palestine, a walk for Palestine, this for Palestine. Whereas we are forgetting. Why? Because we are not understanding the message of Quran. We are not understanding the way of Sunnah. So our message for this morning is that do not lose hope in Allah. Trust in the plans of Allah Ta'ala and realize that His help is definitely coming. It's just a matter of time. And when will that time be? Is when we turn back to Allah, when we turn back in totality to the deen of Allah Ta'ala in all its teachings, in every single aspect, then we'll see how the help will come to you, to all of us, and to the entire ummah as large. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding that this plight that is happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine is actually an eye-opener for you and I, that we need to help them, as well as that we do not want to be, that Allah tests us in a certain way, in that way. And for that day, we have to appreciate the bounties Allah has given us and the favors Allah has bestowed upon us through worshipping Allah correctly, through obeying Him correctly, and utilizing the wealth that Allah has given us correctly. Not now holidays are coming up, we're utilizing it in haram means. We are going to those countries which are aiding the assistance of the destroying of Palestine, which are aiding this assistance of the enemies. But rather, we utilize that money. Yes, have a little bit of time with the family and enjoy it. But no one is saying we have to do it at the expense of our deen or at the expense of our fellow brother Muslims and sisters at large. May Allah Ta'ala accept it from us and grant us a true understanding, inshallah.
Ameen. Mulana, excellent advice for us as well. As Mulana was speaking about Suratul Fil, and then this thought came to mind as well. There is MBS there who's building his Mu'qab. So as Abraha was going to destroy and he couldn't tolerate that this is taking place, these people honoring others or honoring Allah and besides Him, this angered him. So similarly, MBS, he's built this Mu'qab. I'm sure Mulana has heard about it.
Yeah.
And it's 400 meters high, they say. And this is in a cube shape. If you see Kaaba and Mu'qab, the root letters are the same. So this year, it's drawn widespread criticism from true Muslimin that why did you have to make it a cube shape? Why did you have to make it a skyscraper? So we're seeing the similar events taking place in our current times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him. If guidance is not written out for him, may Allah destroy him. Ameen.
Ameen.
Mulana, we appreciate your time. Inshallah, we'll get Mulana again soon. Inshallah, make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, that was Hazrat Mulana Salman. From us in the team, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.